Y'all remember your own video. Smile and show your profile. Mm-hmm. Wait till we get used to it and don't care anymore.
You know who you're talking to?
Sharon says I have a hard time. She's going to make that she quit because she said I can read your thoughts.
I know.
Because I was a Trojan in 1983 and a Warrior in 1984.
Part of that first class to graduate?
No, I was the second class to graduate. My wife was the first class.
You grew your beard out a little bit. Good one, so that could be you.
Shame. Need to add a little belly to that thing first.
Put a baseball bat in his hand.
There you go.
That worked.
All right, we are on. All right, let's go ahead and welcome everybody to the April 14th Westminster Budget Workshop. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order and turn it over to Mr. Brunson.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. A little bit of a different setup. We'll give Scott just a second to switch to this camera. Scott's now our TV guy.
Utility director / television producer. He'll be asking for a raise.
He's also a beekeeper. Mm-hmm. Blueberry grower. What we're doing tonight is we are reviewing the revenue from the last four fiscal years, including the current budgeted year. You will have a special call meeting on April 28th. Yep, I'm sorry, I have it on here. And at that special call meeting, we will give you a balanced budget that includes the things that you asked for when you did your planning workshop. This is our budget calendar here, so 28th is your next meeting. That's a special call meeting. It'll be 4 o'clock here. I was told that I put 6 o'clock, you said, Chief, on the last admin report, so that was incorrect. So 4 o'clock here on the 28th, we'll give you those budgets that we've done in the past. excuse me, you'll have the ability to either suggest changes, if you want to suggest changes at that meeting, or when we have first reading at the regular May council meeting, or by the time you do second reading. So we'll go ahead and go through this. You should be fairly comfortable with the format that you're looking at. Usually we give you a little bit of Bureau of Labor Statistics information just to show what the Consumer Price Index is doing. Not that I don't think any of you are probably not informed at this point. So we've had, I'd say, moderate inflation over the last year, a little bit of kind of back and forth, a little bit of crazy, but kind of the geopolitical situation going on when it related to fuel. That is not shown here in these charts. But it's really meant to give you just to help you get your bearings. This breaks it down a little bit more. You can see we had significant inflation back in 2022. A lot of that was tied to natural gas price increases and then just that general inflation that we saw post-COVID. and then it has settled back down to what I would call a little bit more manageable territory since then. So starting with the general fund, and we've got a number of caveats to each of your chart this year, and what I'll tell you as council is that those caveats come from our projects. So most of these caveats are going to be related to three things. Our SCIP project, which is $5 million, where we got $4 million from the state, and we put up $1 million to do sewer line rehab. Half of that was through the woods, and not a lot of people noticed. The other half is right down the middle of 123, where everybody notices. And then the two that are noted on here is the $5 million we received in budget year 24 and $1.5 million we received in budget year 25. Both of those were one-time state budget appropriations that were dedicated for what we now call the Horton Recreation Complex. So those spikes that you see in there, if you want to normalize that, and we can always do this for you if you want us to, you would actually deduct that from these numbers. So you're going to see a much flatter line there if you take those higher numbers out. I'm going to roll through these like I have in the past. This is to break down and show you, not just in chart form, but also number form. I know that everybody responds a little bit different to how they receive information, how you process it. Some folks will appreciate the charts. Some people don't want to look at the numbers. If there's anything that you have a specific request on, let us know, and then we will drill down into that number and get that answer for you. I circled here, and you're going to see it throughout the next several slides, where that $1.5 million and that $5 million hit in those two fiscal years for us. And so it's not a true picture of what our annual year-to-year revenue stream is going to be. That's one-off money that we're using for special projects. So when you look at general fund, all total, that's what you see in terms of revenue. You see we've got moderate growth in the taxes, which I think is the next slide here. I've recounted up there for you the two millage reductions that we've done, and you asked to see another $1 million reduction in the upcoming budget, so we will have another $1 million reduction at a minimum in the next budget year. Down along the bottom, you see the red circles. That is the value of $1 million. So what does $1 million get us in calendar year 25, or fiscal year 25? It's $7,700 per mill. So when you take that and you multiply it times 94.8, which is close to 100, you see that that's about $700,000 that we can expect in income just from taxes. That includes real property and personal property. So that's going to include homes, commercial businesses, but then it's also going to include people's cars and vehicles. Boats are also in there, as well as delinquent taxes. Get rolled over there.
Has the state set yet that they're dropping the taxes on boats?
Mayor, I've read that they had. Whether or not it's been signed by the governor, I don't know. It may be part of the whole budget package that goes with that.
So that would cut us in half?
We don't get a lot of revenue from boats. I think total we get...
we've got 57,000 right here. Is that accurate?
That seems high to me from... Well, that's the assessed value. So the actual dollars that we collect
well, yeah,
would be $1,000. So about $5,700 we collect annually.
So that's not going to be a big cut.
And it's not going to be a significant. We don't have a lot of boat owners or owners with very expensive boats. Now, Chief Smith lived in the corporate limits. That number would go up. He likes to have a nice new boat every year.
He does.
He doesn't spend money on anything else but that boat. But he's got that boat. Any questions related to what you see here, what we're looking at? And all this information that you see in this chart right here comes from the county auditor. they pull this information together. Ultimately, what we're watching are these numbers right in here, the market value and the assessed value. Every time property changes hands, you'll see the market value go up, the assessed value typically goes up too. Anytime we have new construction, the same thing happens. Keep in mind, there can be a lag of as much as 18 months from the time those transactions happen before we actually realize it in a dollar of revenue. And that's because you pay your property taxes in arrears. And it has nothing to do with any type of bureaucracy. Looking at your property taxes, seeing good growth there. The dip that you see in 26 is because that's a budgeted number, not an actual number. And as I showed you a minute ago, if you take the value of a mill, you multiply it times roughly 100, you can see that's where we're coming out in total tax value. Our second highest is going to be typically our business license revenue, the fee in lieu and franchise fees is getting to be more, but if you go back historically, you can see where those business license fees were a little bit more. We have sent our business license officer, who's Stephanie Holbrooks, to business license training school? Yeah, through the Municipal Association. So she is better schooled up now than she's ever been on business license, which is to say we as an organization are. So she is finding areas that we are allowed to collect business license for that we have not in the past. And so she's running some of those to ground right now. Business licenses are due May 1st. Okay. Again, I'm just kind of showing you the same chart over and over. The bottom information doesn't change. I did that so that if you prefer to see it in a graphical representation, you can see it that way. Are there, before we move on to anything else, do you all have any questions about that, those major sources of revenue from the general fund?
I just have a question about the business license.
Yes, ma'am.
Are so the current ones that have one, do you notify them, or how does that happen?
Yeah, we send them a renewal notice once every year.
Okay.
And she mailed that sometime in the last 3 weeks, I guess, or maybe a month. And they have roughly a month to get that back in and pay it. And they're coming in now. So it's something that we typically collect over, I guess, about a month. And we also, a number of years ago, there was a state law change that requires anybody that's collecting a business license, whether it's a city or a county, because some counties do, Oconee County does not, you have to follow what's called the Business License Standardization Act. So someone can actually go online anywhere in the state and purchase a business license here if they're purchasing one here and, let's say, Waldsboro and Charleston. They can get it all at one time in one spot. Fire department, this is significant because the amount of money that we get from Oconee County is a significant part of our revenue source for how we fund fire. I expect right now that $550 will be what we will have for the next fiscal year. I've begun some conversations with the county administrative staff about revisiting that contract. You all may recall that when we renewed that contract, we went from $285 to $550. We added our response to medical calls, which in essence doubled our annual call volume. And so I've started the conversations with them so that once this contract gets a little more mature, we can evaluate whether or not we want to ask for more money there. I'm certain you all have read some of the same information I've read where the county's recalibrating their finances. we'll see how that comes out down the road.
Michael, do you have a percentage on what's in city and in county on your call?
Not off the top of my head, but it's more in the county than it is in the city.
Actually, will you make a note for us to get those statistics from our city? So when you come here, I threw a footnote in again because we're accounting for a lot of what I call outside money, the skip money, the Horton rec complex money. It finds its way into the general fund, and for whatever reason, when our accountants booked it last year, they booked it in the police department. So Fred didn't come in 2025 and jack his budget up, however much, whatever that percentage would be. It is just where they realized, or they noted, the $2 million donation that we received from Horton, and they noted the $1.2 in cash payment with the $800,000 receivable. At this point, we received one or two of those $200,000 payments.
For this year? No. In total, two.
In total, two. Okay. So we have two more of those that we'll receive. Might remember, some of you are new on council, but we borrowed the money for that $800,000, and we're using those annual payments from Horton to pay that money back. Youth Rec Fund is growing steady. I expect it's going to keep growing. Mayor, you were talking a little bit about the experience with the Braves that came this past weekend, how positive that was. We were not paid by the Braves organization to host that camp. We were happy they just came. But we had people come in from out of town. They were registrants from out of town. So as we bring Horton online and begin to use it, not just for local play and not just for bigger clinics like that involve the Braves, but for tournaments and travel leagues, we expect some of these revenues to go up related to that use of the facility. And the expenses are also going to go up. The expenses to run it, particularly on water. Put a lot of water on those fields right now without the rain, but that's what it requires for those fields to be kept in good shape. When we start running those lights are LED lights, but till we get that first power bill, you know, they didn't tell me how efficient it is, but I see that bill, we don't really know. We've not had to run those lights a significant amount of time so far, so we'll see where that comes out. We also do have some additional costs that will be associated with the Westminster batter's box. So. And when the power went out today, the young crew that we have from TCTC was out working on the mini splits. When those things all get running to keep that building cool in the summertime, it's going to use some electricity. It won't use as much water, so there's a little bit of trade-off back and forth. But just to kind of put in your level of awareness, we expect those expenses for recreation to go up.
Do we know how many kids showed up to the camp?
So there were 70 that registered for the camp, and Herb said the bulk of those were local residents that signed up, but there were some from out of town.
It was nice to see them out there.
So we start looking at where do we get the money for Youth Rec. It does not pay for itself, meaning that the fees and the revenue raised through concession stands and those things do not pay for Youth Rec. So we historically give a transfer from the general fund and from HTAX. Nearly everything we do at the rec department is HTAX eligible. So we're comfortable with that. We'll see how that works out this year. We have some additional information on HTAX. That's one of those where the number we projected this year was just too high. We just have not seen the hospitality tax growth last year into this year that we had seen in some of the previous years. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. I don't think it's going to have a significant impact on what we do but we're going to have to roll back that HTAX budget a little bit to keep accommodating this level of contribution coming into youth reg.
Kevin, what's that big jump from 25 to 26 on fees?
Mayor, I have to go back and look. From the 246 to the 429?
Yeah.
I have to go back and look.
That's pretty significant jump. I know we had football.
Well, some of what you're seeing is a projection. So this is a budgeted amount. That's an actual amount.
Yeah.
I can tell you what a lot of that is right now. That 429 was us expecting Horton to have been completed in November.
Okay.
And we would have begun receiving fees for the use of the facility in November. Herb had a tournament that we could have hosted at Horton in November if it had been ready, and then if we had been ready coming out of the gate in the spring, we would have already realized some of that additional money.
Gotcha.
So what you're seeing there, actually you don't have to look that up, that is a projected number based off of some of the things we don't yet know how it's going to go.
Right.
And it's not going to materialize at that number, I can tell you that. So this is your hospitality tax fund. You can see that we peaked in 2023. I say what really was kind of the fulcrum of that is when we lost Yusuf's restaurant. You know, Yusuf's brought in a lot of revenue. Of course, about the time Yusuf's, or a little bit before Yusuf's closed, Spinks opened. And Spinks is a big contributor to hospitality tax. But losing that restaurant was a hit to this as a funding source. And if you go back and you look, and I'll show you this in a minute, you could probably pinpoint the exact time that Yusuf's restaurant closed when you start going through that data. And what we do here, and I've circled it, the chart up in the top left corner is by fiscal year, and the information that you have month by month is by calendar year. And you can see that in a calendar year to year, we have dropped back from that high of 22 and 23. I expect that 26 is probably going to settle back around in the 170 number from what we're seeing right now. But it is not the 200 that we had budgeted for. We've got flexibility in that. We had a plan in how we would withhold some of that additional money when we got those Horton payments over the course of the 10-year loan to be able to pay it in the out years. And I'll have that. It's not in this slide, but we'll have it when we present the budget to you. It'll be us adjusting those numbers. It's nothing at this point that gives me any pause or concern about operations. Mostly what it means is we just aren't going to be able to capture new growth for new things. We'll be able to pay for existing things, but new stuff, not as much. Until or unless we see another restaurant come in and begin to pick up on that. And we've got options. We've got a number of restaurants looking to come into town. And if any one or two or three of those were to land, then I think this number will jump. But as I'm working through that budget right now with Ashley, we're being a bit more on the conservative side. And then if it materializes later, we can always come back and do an amendment in January of 27 if we have to. But you're going to see us dial that back when we do that. Local accommodations tax fund. That big change that you see there, I think I noted this last year, was because there were funds back as late as fiscal year 23 that should have gone into local accommodations that was going into hospitality tax. So that was an accounting mistake that was done up until that point, and then we corrected it. So I think you're going to see around that $12,000 amount hold. Most of that is coming from our one small local hotel, but there is one or two B&Bs, maybe a little bit here and there from Magnolia Manor. Some of that also reflects that Magnolia Manor changed their business model, so they are operating a little bit differently than they had been before. And so that number, I think, is going to stay around that $12,000 mark as we kind of look at what we've got going forward. Solid waste fund. If I have any heartburn, it's probably over solid waste. And this is where you see that spike that you have there in 23 is when we bought one of some of that capital. I think one of them was a garbage truck, and one of them was a leaf vac truck. Okay. So that's what you see in the expenses there. What I want to note real quick right here, the red that you see, back in 2021 and even in 2020, we were reliant on tax dollars to run our solid waste operations, which meant your city residents were paying for garbage collection for people outside the corporate limits. So it was not sustaining itself. Back then, you as a council, those of you who were on council then, made a decision that we were going to make it a cost to serve, meaning it would cover its own cost. We would not be dipping into tax dollars to augment this as a service. So if you see, when we got to 2022, we dropped that number again, and then we were able to drop it significantly in 2023. And then even for one year, we actually were able to give money back to the general fund to account for what we had taken. And so the way that we operate it is we want what we collect in service fees to pay what it costs, so we aren't looking for something else to help fund it. We aren't looking to utility, electric, water, sewer. They need to fund themselves. We aren't looking for tax dollars. We've already talked internally, and you'll see some comparisons here in a minute. I don't think we're going to be asking for an increase in that here. It's going to be more of a cost containment on the staff side. It's a little bit of disappointment there because there's another piece or two of equipment that we would like to replace. But I think the reality for us is we need to push through. We'll put some additional maintenance dollars in that. We just don't have that debt to equity ratio when you look at solid waste that we'd like to have. And taking on more debt is probably not the thing to do in the upcoming fiscal year. So you all, when you did the tour, you saw the equipment that we have, and I think it's a good case that the staff makes to replace some additional equipment there. Until this stabilizes a little bit, and I'm going to go ahead and call this a little unstable in terms of revenue. I asked the guys just this morning what percentage of Cooper's Mill they thought we were collecting in garbage collection, and that was around 75% of the residents in there using our service. You have that second phase of Cooper's Mill that's under construction now. When Heirloom Farms goes vertical, we could expect that, but we don't have a timing estimate on any of those additional construction. And as well as that Armstrong Meadows neighborhood, we have a clause in the agreement with them to serve water and sewer that we have the first right refusal to serve those residents with solid waste. Now, it's not something that's easily enforceable, but we kind of make the first pitch. I don't really foresee Seneca driving all 4 miles back this way to collect a few cans and then turn around and go back the other way they came from. For us to collect it is going to be a pretty easy. It's on our route to the landfill. So I think there's a lot of potential here, but we've got to see it materialize. And that's just going to depend on how new homes being constructed materialize, because that's what this gets. Or that's where this revenue comes from. It comes from new construction.
Are we serving the customers between here and Cooper's Mill?
Yeah, probably not everybody, but Scott says that we do pick up
cans at
All right, well, this Clearmont Bridge shut down. That's going to send you all the way around.
It is. Yep. And there's some that are not going to basically get done with the bridge, turn around, come back out, and then get back around to get to the mill.
So that's going to actually hit us a little bit.
It will some, yes.
Yep.
Any additional questions about solid waste, how we're managing that, what you expect? Yeah.
How many days a week are we picking up?
3.5
Yeah. Three and a half. That's probably going to increase as he doesn't fill out.
Right.
So we, with the existing equipment, the existing staff, if we were to pick up till we get to 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, I don't think there's a need to add staff or additional equipment. We might replace equipment. We use that staff to help do other things throughout.
Okay. And how is this fuel spike?
It's significantly. We went up $1 a gallon.
Yeah.
That was, we didn't plan on that. So it's, we had a staff meeting this morning. We are actively looking for ways to reduce some of our fuel consumption so that at a minimum we come in on budget this year.
Right.
That I think we'll be all right. Certainly help if it came back down.
Yeah. Yeah. Help everyone.
But yeah, I mean, we're a gas and diesel heavy operation.
Right.
Police, fire, pretty much everything in utilities. It's a lot of vehicles on the road doing a lot of road miles. And so we're aware of it. We talked about it this morning, how to pull that back a little bit.
Okay.
There are just some things we don't want to ask them to do. We don't want the cops to turn the cars off.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
When you ask Scott to turn his truck off, that'd say, well, yes. Moving on to utility fund, utility admin. Again, I gave you a little note up there on the side in the green box. Some of the skip money got journal entry reclassed. And when you see journal entry, that is at the end of the year when our accountant, Jason White, is working with our auditors to close the books. They go through and they decide if everything has been put in one place where they think it should be from a financial management perspective, and if they think it needs to be somewhere else, they do a journal entry and they move it. So that's often what you see here. So those journal entries were related to skip, which all that is sewer money. So that's, whether it's in admin or sewer, I don't think it's all that consequential, but this is where they put it at the end. So that's why you're going to see that spike go up. It's all related to this down here. And we're nearly finished with the skip, so maybe by the time we close out this fiscal year, we're completely done with skip. There may be one payout that lags. Could be two, possibly, in the next year. But the state is pushing hard to get all that closed out. So we will do our part. Water. Some folks make fun of the way I say water. I won't call her out by name. It's probably our most stable revenue source in terms of the number of customers that we serve, the value of the revenue that it brings in, the ability to spread small incremental costs over more people. So if you look at our electric system and you think, well, why is that not a more stable or a more robust revenue stream? It's because it's got a much smaller footprint. Well, water, we have a much larger footprint, more customers we can spread cost out over. Electric and sewer has a much smaller footprint, so we're hitting the same people over and over when we have increased cost. That's why I say that about water. It's just a more diverse revenue generator than any of the other utilities. Have sewer. Again, we're making a footnote what may be, well, you're going to see some footnotes when we close out 26 with skip. It'll probably be 27 before we start seeing that. We performed pretty well with sewer last year. through. Most of this ties back, I would say, to our customer base. I put the customer counts down at the bottom. Those counts sometimes will change every day. They definitely change month to month, but we're always looking at how many customers do we have in each of those categories. Generally, we're staying pretty flat. And that's because of the service area that we have. Kind of is what it is. Infill housing, infill projects, we'll get new ones. Mm-hmm. But expanding out, most of those folks are already serviced by Blue Ridge Electric. They do have the choice to opt in to become our customer if they want to. We've not been out pushing that. Mm-hmm. But they have that option. I keep trying to think of a better phrase than provider experience expenses. What I mean when I say a provider experience expense is, particularly for electric and sewer, we owe PMPA or the OJRSA every year for what we either get or send to them. And so I'm referring to the provider as being PMPA, OJRSA, or for water, it's our cost to produce water, and then what do we get back in terms of revenue? And I want to note over here, I wish I had noted this in the past after I realized it, putting this together. This does not show all the utility expenses. You're getting a lot of it, so don't look at it. If you look at this, we didn't put $2.4 million to the bottom line. There are other costs associated with the utility system that are not captured here. What I'm simply trying to do here is show you that particularly with electric and sewer, that we have costs that we do not get to control. We've got to pay MPA what the bill is. We've got to pay the OJRSA what the bill is. We can control a little bit more of that on water. We can control some of that in admin. But on these other two categories, there's a little bit less. I don't expect that we're going to see a PMPA rate increase this year. That does not mean that we may not need, or staff may not suggest in the budget that we do a rate increase. Doesn't mean that we will. And then the OJRSA, they are contemplating, there's a slide in here somewhere, they're contemplating a rate increase. And my suggestion to you is if there's an OJRSA rate increase, you just pass it through. I think we have done well the last 2 years in covering our cost with our fees, and then we pay the OJRSA. One thing that we may want to do, and kind of throw this out to get your input, Wahala and Seneca both, they have two parts to their sewer bill. So there's one that says, you know, City of Wahala, and there's a number, and then it says OJRSA, and then there's a number. On our bill, we just have one number, sewer. Well, some of that is coming here. Some of it is we collect it, and then we send it to the OJRSA. So we can add another line on our utility bill so that folks know while we're collecting it, we're paying the provider for that.
Can we do that before we have a rate increase?
We could do it. It'd take a little bit of work on Kylie's part. Probably take it about 3 months.
The only reason I say that, I mean, this comes down to optics. At least at that point, we can say, hey, it ain't us, it's them. Look on your bill.
Yeah.
So, the sooner we can do that, if we're in agreement, I think that'd be a good idea.
How did the rest of y'all feel?
We asked about doing that several years ago. I'm good with it. Absolutely.
The blame game on somebody else besides us.
Well, I mean, truly, it's not your decision. I mean, you're passing it through.
Well, and it just gives some transparency and lets everybody else see that we're doing our jobs here, trying to mitigate raising costs, but yet that's out of our control. That's only the entity.
We'll look at that when we come back next month. We'll have an idea. It'll be on Kylie to figure all that out. Well, Kylie, you're good at it. That's it.
Yeah. Thanks.
What do you like that you're good at it? So we always like to look where we stack up to other folks. This is kind of the upstate region. could pull it, and if I were to throw statewide numbers in here, we look even better than we currently do. Sewer, we're high. We're just high, and it's just what it takes for us to cover that cost. On water, you look at that, we're a lot more competitive in terms of the upstate region. You know, most of the comparison information you're going to see after this slide, we are comparing ourselves to our peers in Oconee County, not across the state, you know, or the upstate. Keep in mind, everybody's got a different situation in terms of what their infrastructure is, what their staffing is, and what their customer counts are. We don't account for any of that. We just give this to you so that you see that. And I wish that we were able to pull down that sewer cost. There are a couple I'm not going to mention that are in that list right now that are doing some new sewer plant expansions, and their costs are going to go up once they get those expansions completed.
We don't have Pioneer on there.
I did put Pioneer on here because they don't show up on the RIA resources in terms of water and sewer. I guess I'd have to run a sewer or a water only to see if they're even reporting that information. This is mostly a self-report situation. And I will note, I put down here in the footnote, I pulled that on April the 6th because I expect with a lot of what I would call the just kind of the aggravating small inflationary or inflation that we've seen the last couple of years. My expectation or belief is that a lot of these will adjust up, whether it's a lot or a little. So when we start looking at how we compare currently with how we compared last year to our local folks, I don't think having Duke Energy on there is fair, but we put it on there anyway because we have customers that are in Oconee County that are on Duke asking for a rate increase, so that would change. And now that I'm looking at this, actually I'm wondering, did Duke really drop their base fee?
I believe last year's was incorrect.
Oh, you think last year, okay. So Ashley thinks this number was incorrect last year, probably was that same number. So I'll give you just a minute to kind of look at that. Seneca, if memory serves, had to do a mid-year rate increase to cover their cost. And I think we captured that mid-year rate increase. And I think what they did is they did their per kilowatt. They didn't do a base fee increase.
Is there any information on the peak hours and things like that? Because we don't charge that, do we?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
But Blue Ridge does.
Yeah, Blue Ridge bill could vary significantly. And I know that because I'm a Blue Ridge customer. And
right.
There's a lot of variability. And Jamie, you'll see a little bit of that in some of these next slides.
Okay.
So we're always trying to, when we look at their rates, we're accounting for what's the base fee, what's the per use, per 1,000 gallons, sometimes they'll use cubic yards, where do we sit in solid waste. This is another reason why I don't really want us to raise rates again, because we're sitting on the higher side of things. Wahala's got a very large solid waste collection route. We're not going to get customers that they may serve really close to our city limits by having a higher price. Those customers will stay with the customers. So when you start to kind of look at everything together, where is it that we become the most competitive and where are we less competitive? Because ultimately, if it's a small business, that's probably who we're competing.
Go back on that inside the city rates. Yeah. You said something about business, and I So I know, do we not have different rates for commercial versus residential and electric?
Yes, we do.
How does that, and again, because now we're talking a little bit different, we're talking wanting to draw people in, how does that compare against these other two municipalities as far as water, sewer, and electric on the commercial side versus the residential?
We could pull some of that number. The challenge on electric, and I know this from our PMPA peers, is that sometimes they'll write a rate for a specific company or a specific customer.
Because of load usage and what have you.
Yeah, and somebody mentioned peak, Jamie mentioned peak a minute ago. They'll also write that rate because they know when they're going to peak and they've got different peaking periods. I'll see what we can pull together before we have our next meeting.
Just out of curiosity, you don't mind thinking.
All right, and then these are the outside rates, which the takeaway there is everybody seems to charge some higher outside than they do inside, and that's because you're going farther away from that density that you typically get with the cities themselves.
I have another question, and I'm going to be full of them, I'm sure.
Keep asking.
When we do water taps, it's just a tap fee. There's not like, as far as the water, not sewer. Because I know on the sewer tap fee, even inside here, they pay our tap fee plus, you know, an impact fee, if I'm not mistaken. Is that what it's called, impact fee?
Yeah, it's another tap fee to the sewer board. They got to buy two.
So a water tap's just the water tap fee. That's it. There's no sort of capital buy-in fee for people outside the city limits for future infrastructure maintenance or expansion?
No.
Okay.
No, the way we have our structure is our tap fees can be used for general operating.
Okay.
Although, if you look at what we're funding in those budgets, a lot of times what we're funding is replacement of meters and replacement of assets that are within that operating budget. So I can tell you we're spending more on that replacement of capital than we're generating in those tap fees. So if we ever had to dissect that out, we could. At the sewer authority, they actually segregate that money. So when they get a tap fee in, it is what you said. It's more of an impact to the system fee that they're paying. And that has to be restricted only to capital uses.
Well, I've noticed in some of our gated communities that are completely self-serving, Chickasaw Point, Kiwi Key, you know, they have increased their capital contribution on transfer of property. And I did not know if, you know, I know things are costing us more money, what that process looked like for us.
You know, there's always, you could as a council impose an impact fee in addition to a tap fee. You could impose that on new neighborhoods if you chose. We would have to get the attorneys to write it out. There are a couple of things you've got to do because of equal protection where you've got to give kind of everybody the same ability to respond and be kept whole. But other than that, you do have the ability, as you sit right now, to impose an impact in addition to a tap. Impact is going to be something you reserve just for capital or the repayment of capital debt.
And my thinking is this area continues to experience growth. We own, as a city, our distribution system. We own it. Even what's running up Highway 76 up toward Long Creek. We, as the taxpayers, are the ones that are on the hook for that, not necessarily the end user. So as we move forward and we continue to see growth, I would like to make sure that we are collecting enough revenue and have it set to aside so when we do have capital expenditures, we don't have to raise fees and taxes on the inside city limit residents. Is it legal to have it separated to where you have an impact fee on outside the city limit residents and not one on inside the city limit residents?
I could have that researched. I think you have to impose it You can certainly have a different rate.
System-wide versus segregated out between inside and outside.
Yeah, we could check on that if that's something.
Just out of curiosity, I'd like to see kind of what that would look like if possible.
Well, the good thing is we have good history on what we can generate from those taps, which I think is important because the tap would also inform the analysis on an impact fee. We'll drill down into that as much.
Just looking at it a little different.
Yep.
Off of that, Kevin, a few years ago we increased the tap fees enough to cover our actual cost. Has it increased more now?
I'm going to say probably not. In our meeting this morning, Chris mentioned he didn't think we were. He's given me some data to look at. Well, one thing that, and I'm speaking to Chris Todd, our water sewer supervisor, Chris is pretty good at analyzing quite a few things, and he's actually gone in and believes we're losing money when we sell wholesale. Like when people show up at the shop and they want to buy 5,000 gallons worth of water, he's like, well, we're undercharging them for what it costs to produce it. Taylor also mentioned when we had our staff meeting this morning that the cost that we have listed in to do undergrounding and boring, he's like, none of that is capturing the cost, that it should be higher. So I have sent them back this morning saying I need to know what the break-even number is. They'll send me that analysis, and then we'll see if we want to suggest some changes on that. That wouldn't be a rate increase on electric, but where we go out and we provide some additional level of service, we at least want to capture the cost because that customer is getting the benefit that not everybody's getting. So the answer to that, I think, Mayor, you asked that, is I don't know.
Yeah.
But probably not.
Okay. Well, with all the growth we're seeing coming in now, I guess it's probably time to look at it again. I don't remember when we increased that.
We increased them last year.
The tap fees?
Yeah.
We did it several years ago.
Yeah.
As well, didn't we?
We did the tap fees last year.
Okay. I guess it's jumping that quick, we just have to keep an eye on
it. Time just goes by too quick, Mayor.
Boy, don't it.
So I wanted to get the other folks in, Pioneer, Blue Ridge, and CSWR. We still call them testing around City Hall. And that's with Tessie. We sell to them through a master meter, and then they resell it to their customers. So whatever they charge their customer is not up to us. The maintenance of those lines past that meter is their responsibility. This additional rate comparison data, again, we mentioned earlier that looking at the number of customers in addition to the rates is useful in kind of determining where you fall out. And so that's where you're getting some more of these calculations. We're able to better track across the three cities than we are the other three down at the bottom. And of course, Pioneer and Blue Ridge don't do, but they only cover one service, not multiple services.
What's the Wahala 2.9 million?
Duke Power.
Yeah, that's Duke Power.
Okay.
Wahala grew a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
good water.
So the real reason we put that in, see if y'all paid attention. That's Duke Power's count. So you just think Duke Energy Carolinas.
Right.
That's part of North and South Carolina. And that's, and again, Duke's got a whole lot more people. $500,000 increase, they got a lot more people to spread that across than if we have a $500,000 increase. So I promised you this, and our friends at PMPA refer to this as an eye chart, which really means you can't see it. If you'd like me to send this to you, I can. It's been in the admin report. It'll probably be in the admin report again. This is what Chris Eliezer, the executive director, provided to the board and said, will you guys consider looking at this? He would like to see a rate increase, so he broke it down so that the board can see what each percentage is going to do and the dollar impact that will have. I expect there may be another increase there, although as a board, we really have not talked about it. So I just wanted to hand that to, or show that to you. And again, last year, or I think the last 2 years, whatever rate increase we had from the OJRSA, we just passed it through. Here are, well, Mayor, this doesn't have the tap fees on it, though I thought we did increase the tap fees. So what did you do last year? So I think it's always good to know what you did last year before you make a decision about the upcoming year, because that affects how much the compounding of the increases are. These are two slides directly off of the PowerPoint last year. You can see the increases that we had in the different services. The only reason you see some stuff in red is because we had some corrections before, or we had some edits, I should say, which included corrections when we got to the final June council meeting. And so we were highlighting that in red. So that's only why you're seeing something in red. I'm not trying to highlight it to you. We were highlighting it for you last year when we looked at these. We also showed you what a one mil reduction was last year. It's gonna be roughly that same amount again this year. The only thing that I could say at this point that I feel pretty strong about is that we will have your one mil tax decrease in your upcoming budget proposal, and we will not have a rate request increase on solid waste. Still waiting to see how Ashley and I have been working on that budget right now, back and forth. Anything that we propose is very likely going to be just to cover what new equipment would be. So one of the scenarios that I'm thinking of providing to you, so it might be good just to kind of see if it would work for you as a decision maker, is I think if we need an increase, it's only going to be because we buy more equipment. So you guys came out, you saw some of the equipment that we have. There are fire trucks that need maintenance, not necessarily to be replaced. There are our vac truck, one of our line trucks. What was one of the other big ones, Scott? I guess our dump truck, which
dump truck's
running just fine. It's running about every day. We're wearing the driver out on that dump truck right now.
Yeah, it counts.
Yeah. Was there anything else that was big?
That is the biggest.
So let's say I come to you and suggest, okay, here's a budget, it's balanced, there's no rate increase. However, to buy a new vac truck and a new line truck, you would need this percent increase to cover that equipment. You might remember when we've had some of these discussions before, what we're getting to is a debt to equity ratio. We need to have more money in cash in the bank to handle just call it working capital, to manage the monthly flow of money coming in and out. We need more of that in the bank than we currently have. And as we grow, we need more of that in the bank because we need more money to be able to cycle through. So in terms of water and electric and sewer, what I've been thinking is giving you a budget that shows no rate increase and then shows you what a rate increase would be needed if we brought that new equipment in next year. How does that sound to you if we were to give it to you that way? And the thing is, really absent life safety issues, which I'm going to say happens on our fire trucks. Those fire trucks can't run. I would call that a life safety issue. You're impacting that. If our vac truck doesn't work, it's a significant inconvenience and causes more labor. But if it's not rolling, I don't know that a life is in danger. If a fire truck is not rolling, I would suggest to you there's a life in danger. So if we're looking at those things, we've patched and duct taped and WD-40'd to death some other equipment. We could do that again if you don't want to have the rate increase. Right now, I think any rate increase that you're going to see is going to be tied to that equipment. Until we do the final calculations, there may be something in there that we need for operations. Gas may be one of those. So far, we haven't increased those line items, but if it looks like gas is going to stay about where we're at right now for the next year, I don't know how to tell that. I don't know what research I can do that will forecast anything, because right now it's kind of volatile. Then we can decide what to do in terms of the increases. But then you have something that you can say, that increase did this. The boys, and I say the boys because they're all boys, or they're men, they've been testing some vac trucks, and so they bring vac trucks in, sales guys do, and they're like, hey, why don't we take it out to 132 St. John's Road? Do a test on that street, which just happened to be where we had a service order request. You know, so we actually are testing it on hot, real-life condition situations. And it's given the guys a great chance to see what equipment works well in actual operating conditions. I asked Scott if we just couldn't keep doing demos for the next 2 years and kind of forego that, but I think those guys would catch on eventually. We keep calling them back to help turn that truck back over. So there may be some minimal increases that we would need in terms of cost of living adjustment and fuel, because I'm not aware, I'm looking at you guys, do we have anything else other than cost of living and fuel that I think we would have impact? So that's my thinking right now. So I'm kind of sharing it with you. Do you have any feedback now, or if it hits you at 2 in the morning, you can at least leave me a voicemail. I might not answer it too, but kind of if that suits you.
As you build this budget out, is it in Excel? What kind of platform is it?
What is it? QS1, Zala. I really just call Ashley, and I say Ashley changed that number. So it's the software system that we use.
Is it something that if we wanted to change numbers in real time and see results that we could do, or no?
It's not quite that user-friendly. It's the kind of thing, though, Charles, that in the past, there are a couple what I call my go-to line items. So I'll share those with you. A go-to line item for me is what we budget in the general fund for dilapidated building demolition. So I put a plug number in there. And I'll usually start off with $25,000, because for $25,000, I can get a structure removed. When we got in this year's budget, as we started whittling down to what I needed, I kept taking money out of that, so that number ended up being $5,000, which really is a small amount to do some small abatement. I can't really go tear those apartments down on Hall Road with $5,000. So that's what I call a go-to line item. So if you make some minor adjustments that's within that dollar amount, I'll say, well, let's take it out of that. This year, we also had some straight-up contingency money in both general fund and utility fund. And so any adjustments that you would make, if you increased or decreased, that's where we would either drop it or take from. So in real time, I can tell you what a budget, a financial impact would be, because okay. Those numbers really are just what we decide. They're not really tied to anything other than the $100,000 that we put aside for the PMPA balloon payment in 8 years. The contingency in utility fund is just a number I think works. And so if you want to adjust it down or adjust it up, we can.
What was the phrase you used? Life what? Life.
What did I say? Life safety? Kylie accuses me of using fancy words all the time.
We got it on video, we can rewind.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, my feedback, especially that, is life. That's my first priority. And if it takes some kind of increase of something, you're protecting our citizens.
And that's what we look at. And right now, I think we've got good equipment in police in terms of rolling stock. Fred has done a great job at managing his budget and finding small grants to get all the gear and the equipment that go on folks. Michael does the same thing, except fire trucks are just their own entity, really, when it comes to cost.
Well, Kevin, you know, I've always tried to fight against any kind of rate increases, even though they're necessary, we try our best to fight them. But the one thing I've learned, you've taught me, Scott's taught me, Clyde Crowe taught me here. If we've got equipment that's requiring a lot of maintenance, it's using more fuel, more oil, more downtime and all that, I think we're better off going and upgrading and replace this equipment whenever we need to, because they're not, the price of them is not going to go down.
No.
And we're just going to expend more money trying to keep one running.
Well, I think we turned a big corner in two areas, police and utilities. Mm-hmm. When we started doing those lease purchases back in 22, to bring that equipment in on a rotating basis so we can start getting rid of it before it has no value.
Right.
But we're kind of at a point where if we're going to reduce taxes and keep those rates at a minimum, you've got to make a trade-off. You either got to bump that rate up a little bit more, or we've got to do more maintenance on existing equipment. There's a trade-off. Yeah.
Well, we get, I don't know about the rest of them, I personally get more good feedback on the new equipment, the employees, the work they're doing, than I do negative feedback about the rates. I mean, you hear the rates, but you hear from the same people 95 times a month, but it's the same people. But I think as a whole, people see and appreciate what we've been doing the last few years of building the equipment up. Better police cars, better fire equipment, more people working. So I think we need to look at that hard. If we need equipment, it's just going to get more. The next year, we're going to be hit with it again.
Yeah. Well, and the cost of equipment's not going down.
No.
Kevin, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
On the fire trucks, if you come back to us with the difference between whether we do an increase, if we don't do it, are you going to base that on I think we're looking at repurposed versus new trucks.
Yeah, the Chief Adam Lee, because
that's fine.
He was proposing refurbishing rather than replacing. Replacing is a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, so it's 4 years out.
Yeah, 4 years out, and the price is almost twice.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And we need that equipment operating. He needs it operating.
So we're looking. We're going to talk about refurbishing.
And one of our should do's was update and upgrade city vehicles that we all agreed on. Mm-hmm. For the most part, we did. So,
Scott, have you already compiled a list of equipment that you feel like we could look at it in that form? You know, the should do, could do, must do, whatever.
Okay. And right now, they have, and they've given that to me. Right now, you've got in utilities. Nearly all the pickup trucks are good.
Yeah.
All the small stuff is good. You've got a couple bigger things that are good. But the back truck, which is $750,000, that one isn't good. And the line truck, which is $250,000, those are the ones that the high ticket.
Can we get like a life expectancy out of those, just on the big ticket items, just for future use?
Yeah,
actually.
Any idea how old that back truck is?
The back truck is probably it's an early 2000s. I don't remember the year. It was bought used. I think it had came to Seneca several years ago. But its age is showing on it. But they run that truck around the field today. And the little bucket that they're running right now, the bucket truck, the electric.
say 17 maybe, somewhere in that range. But that's another one they run every day. That's the one that they use the most out of everything. So when they have like a call they had earlier, they had it in a bigger truck, they were on both of them. But it answers pretty much every call.
Yeah.
When the ice hit, that's the one that was on the road because it was the lightest. And they can get it with tight specs for that. And on that back truck there, that's, perception is it's mainly pursuer, but that's not really the case. It's electric uses it for pole setting. Water guys use it when they've got leaks. They've got another leak. The truck will keep up the flow. They'll give them a much safer place to work so they're not deep into water.
I've seen them in use. This
yeah.
is a handy.
It is. They feel it in that truck now. Chris Tyler's done a really good job of updating several things on it just to keep it going. There's also things he's not going to be able to do.
Well, I knew they had some age, and that's why I asked for that. I'd like to be able to show that, hey, we're not just getting a new one to get a new one.
Yeah. Well, I find that. I get the exact year on it, hours and whatnot for you. Dump truck, you guys probably see it running. Kevin Harlan's been hauling rock for a month now, I think. It's 86 International, that's another year.
Yeah.
And that's when we were just talking about it. It's, you know, he says he checks the fuel, tops off the oil in it every morning. So, you know, it's had a long life, but I don't know how much longer the life may be.
We're going to take life off Harvard years if we don't get them out of this.
Thank you, Kev.
Hold on.
It's like a good huge truck. Because you can find good ones out there with a lot more problems. Years better than what we got now.
I know we're reviewing the revenue right now. We're talking about equipment and stuff, but on a completely different note, but still budget related, the assistant administrator position, are we going to freeze that for now, considering the fuel spikes and everything else? Is that going to be in the budget? Where are we standing on
well,
that?
Well, I have planned, and will you go ahead and put the camera back on? So I was not going to, unless you guys tell me otherwise. Right now we have 4 to 5 candidates lined up for an interview next week. So my plan all along was to delay hiring that job at least to around the 1st of May because I was recouping the expenses we had when we had a retirement and when Reagan left. Jamie, what I can tell you is that it gets challenging sometimes for us to get everything done at the current workload that we have without that position. So unless you guys tell me otherwise, we have it built in and ready to operate. Should we find one of these candidates a good fit?
I just want to ask for my information because there is a spike in fuel, you know, and that it could get tight if that stays high for a long time, right? So.
All right, well, that's all we have on this one. The real fun comes at your next one. When we roll it out, and just as a reminder, we'll have a summary PowerPoint, but you will also have the line item budget so you can go through it, you can critique it, you can ask questions about it. Can make changes all the way up until you adopt it at the second reading, which is what we did last year.
And give us a time for that.
4 o'clock on the 28th.
Oh, we already have it.
Yeah.
Thought it was a new one. I'm going to make sure we're good.
All right, Mayor.
Anybody have anything else?
That's all we've got.
Everybody good?
Easy.
All right. We need to move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.